I think this is the most critical time in the history of the world that we're living in today. And yet it doesn't seem to take place in the hearts of the people, and the church has gone to sleep, the church is silent. When we should really be having prayer meetings, and there should be 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people praying because of what's taking place.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Today's lesson continues our series in the book of James. Underscoring the far-reaching power of faith-filled prayer, Roel will challenge us to spend more time before God's throne. When you listen for the Lord's leading and pray according to His will, you can expect that He will work mightily in your life and in the lives of those around you. Let's listen as Roel Reese begins today's study.
We're almost done with James, and I'll tell you something. I'm going to miss teaching on James. It's been such a great book, not only to read, but to study, and to take all these weeks and to really get the doctrine of James concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, and of course, all of the trials and sufferings that people can go through as God's children in such a time as this. But tonight we're going to be studying chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. And what a blessing and marvelous it is, not only to go back to the book of James, as James was speaking on the gift of speech, when we give glory to God. And as we have been studying and seeing, James had a great deal to say about the tongue as we began in chapters 3. Remember, we talked about the tongue and that the actual problems with having an evil tongue. And yet this chapter now has no exception when it comes to bringing the word forth and telling us exactly and exhorting us concerning healing and praying, which is really a beautiful thing here that he brings about. But now also he's going to be speaking to us tonight now is something of real importance. And that is in chapters 5, 13 through 18, this is the only place in the Bible where not only pastors, teachers, when someone is always sick, they always turn to chapter 5 of James, verses 13 to 18, before they anoint a person with oil, and they lay hands on that person, and they pray for their sicknesses and suffering. This is where we get it from the book of James. But at the same time, James is going to be dealing with some personal matters that he's going to be speaking to us tonight. And this is also a passage that the Roman Catholic Church uses for the doctrine of the sacraments of extreme unction. They take that from here. And yet, James starts out with a great exhortation for us in verse 13. Let's read it and see what he says there. He says, if anyone among you suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. It's interesting that the word afflicted here is not confined to a bodily illness here. But for James, it mentions those who are sick. In verse 14, the word speaks here rather of those who are suffering hardships, which at this particular time and moment, the early church in the first century that James is writing to, his own congregation was suffering hardship from the rich to the point where they had come to kill people. And so James wants to make sure that we understand of the suffering and hardships that people were facing and going through, and then the trials and the tribulations that every single one of us here not only faces every day of our lives as Christians, especially in the days that we're living in today. These are very tense days for the church, very tense days for the United States of America, very tense for our military. And at the same time, when we look at the full picture of the scriptures, God tells us in the Word of God that we are going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Remember, Jesus said that. And yet we are to do what He's going to tell us what to do when we have some hardships, or they come, or when trials or even adversities will face each one of us individually within a family or individually. What do we do when we do become sick and weak, or someone dies, or you lose your house, or you lose your job, or you lose a child? I mean, James is very clear in his book that he's really exhorting and bringing us to a place where he makes us really think of the situations that every one of us face every day of our lives. And yet the answer that James will give to us is very simple. Pray. Prayer is very, very powerful when you talk about situations in our own personal lives. And yet we all know that affliction of some kind will come one day to every one of us individually here. The Bible says in Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. I like that scripture. That God is behind my afflictions in delivering me as a person. I really do need God when I'm facing heavy situations in my life. Let me talk to you a little bit about prayer here, because the Bible talks about different kinds of prayer. Maybe you're not a prayer warrior. Maybe you don't pray a lot. And we should be praying today like never before. I think this is the most critical time in the history of the world that we're living in today. And yet it doesn't seem to take place in the hearts of the people, and the church has gone to sleep. The church is silent. When we should really be having prayer meetings, and there should be 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people praying in congregations because of what's taking place. If we truly are going to pray to God, there are some requirements. Requirement number one, there has to be purity of heart. Purity of heart. Your heart has to be clean. Purity of heart. In Psalm 66, 18-19, he says, if I regard iniquity or sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Until you confess and you repent and you get right with God. Then the line's open. Otherwise, the line is shut down. He says, but certainly God has heard me and he has attended to the voice of my prayer. What a beautiful thing it is to be free and to come to God with the right attitude and the right heart and the right state of mind, and to be able to communicate to him as we pray. And then secondly, very, very important, you need to have faith when you pray. Matthew 21:22 says, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. And that's what, according to the will of God. According to the will of God. And when you pray, just like the Muslims pray in the name of Muhammad or Allah, what do we pray? In the name of Jesus. We pray in the name of Jesus. That's what the scripture tells us to do. And listen carefully what he says. This is important. John 14:13. And whatever you ask in my name, what name? The name of Jesus, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in his Son. So when we pray, it's really important to come in the name of Jesus, we ask. In the name of Jesus. And when we do come in the name of Jesus, always remembering that when I stand before God and I pray, I need to always ask according to your will. I don't want anything according to my will, but his will. Because then I'll be happy and I'll be at peace with God. In the book of 1 John 5:14, he says, now this, is the confidence that we have in Jesus Christ, that if we ask anything according to His will, listen, He hears us. He hears us according to His will. And then when you think of prayer, are there hindrances in prayer? Oh, yeah. Yes, there are hindrances to prayer. Number one hindrance is what? Sin. Sin will hinder your prayers. According to Psalm 66, 18, as we read, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Secondly, selfishness. Selfishness hinders prayer. James 4, 3. You ask and you do not receive because you're asking amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. You see? God can't hear that. He won't do that. And thirdly, how about doubting? You doubt God. You doubt God in your life. Remember James 1, 5 through 7? If any of you lack wisdom, let it ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith and not doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven, tossed by the wind. And let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. You can doubt, but you won't receive.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Don't forget that we're here to support and strengthen you as you journey with the Lord Jesus. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com for a wide range of Bible-based resources. You can also download our free app for convenient access to live-streamed Bible teaching. Now, back to more with Raul Reese.
Now, check this out. Secondly, verses 14 through 16, the prayer for the sick. He says, if anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Here's where we get that portion when people come to us every week and they'll say, well, can you please pray for me? And we take that little bottle of oil and we'll open it up, take it and put it on your forehead, and we'll pray for you by faith for God to touch and to heal you, to protect you and to watch over you from James chapter 5, right here, verse 14. Interesting. And yet, when you look at this passage, it has caused much discussion and division regarding divine healing and prayer for the sick among many, many brethren. It's sad, but it's true. It's happened so many times. And there are at least three interpretations advanced to various religious groups. Interpretation number one. There are those who contend that this does not apply to the church age at all, but to Israel, since the epistle is addressed to the 12 tribes of the scattered abroad of Israel. So they say that it's not for us today. Secondly, it claims that no supernatural miracle is involved here, but that the oil prescribed was the fact of a medicine portion that was given by doctors. And part of it is true in history, but the third interpretation is what we believe. There are those who accept the scripture in the New Testament teaching concerning prayer for the believers who are sick as a step of faith. Why? Because in the Old Testament and the New Testament, oil is a symbol of what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. It's a symbol. And yet we believe this interpretation. Sickness in other circumstances where prayer is needed in the midst of the body of Christ, and concerning such prayer, James gives us special attention and direction and instructions that who are the ones to pray? The elders of the church are to lay hands. That's why on Friday nights, once a month, when we get together for prayer, we'll bring the elders forward and we'll have them lay hands on the people and anoint them with oil, and they will pray for their needs. That's because it's scriptural and it's biblical. Right here in the book of James, he speaks to us fully and completely concerning that. And yet, it is evident that James here is prescribing prayer as medicine and oil as the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So if tonight you're feeling sick, you're feeling weak, you're going through something in your life, after the study, the elders will be down here in the front with oil to pray for you and to anoint you. For whatever the case may be, it doesn't really matter. Verse 15, notice, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Interesting. You see? Here, James gives us incredible instruction. The assurance is given here of prayer, that the person that was sick will be made well. So what is the prayer of faith? How do we pray such a prayer? Well, let me give you a few things here. Number one, the prayer of faith rises from what? From an uncondemning heart. An uncondemning heart. 1 John 3, 21-22, beloved, if our hearts does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. I like that scripture. We do what is pleasing to the Lord. Secondly, the prayer of faith recognizes the will of God. 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Jesus, that if we ask anything according to his will, he listens to us. And thirdly, the prayer of faith rests on the promises of Jesus Christ, fully and completely. Matthew 21:22. And whatever thing you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive it. And fourthly, the prayer of faith respects what? The purposes of God. I like that. Acts 4:24. And so when they heard that, they raised their voices to God with one accord and they said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot of vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand. The rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah or anointed one. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. I like that. God in full control to fulfill his purposes. And then prayer of faith reckons what? On the power of God, not our power. It's the power of God. Jeremiah 32:16-17. And now when I had delivered the purchase of deed of Baruch, the son of Neriah, I prayed to the Lord saying, ah, O Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth, and by your great power and outstretched arm, there is nothing too hard for you, O God. I like that. Nothing too hard for God to do. If it's according to his will, he'll do it. But if it's not according to his will, he will not do it. And you don't have to get bitter about that. You just wait on the Lord. Think of how many people have been sick but never been healed. And God uses that infirmity. Remember Paul the Apostle? 3 times he came to the Lord and said, Lord, I want you to heal me from my infirmity. And what did Jesus say? My grace is sufficient for you. For in weakness, you become strong, Paul. For the rest of your life, you're going to have that sickness, that thorn in the flesh. I'm not taking it away. It's going to keep you humble. And Paul accepted it. Never got bitter with God. Check this out. Verse 16. And then he comes up with this. This is pretty amazing. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, are we supposed to confess to one another our sins? Are we Catholics? Go to the priest? No, we don't do that. Christians who what? Confess their sins to each other, and not in your personal things, but here he's talking about, you know, hey, can you pray for me? I'll pray for you. And you'll say, well, what's your problem? Well, I have this problem. Okay, well, let's pray about that. Because if we confess our sins to one another, what would happen? We would be telling everybody else about it. Because remember that confession of sin is incredible. Why? Because we what? Receive true forgiveness. True forgiveness. Remember 1 John 1:9-10? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Psalm 32:1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Check that out. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Selah, I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah. David was saying, as long as I kept my sin, I was tormented. But when I came and I repented and I confessed it, I had peace of mind. And my heart was clear. And guess what else it does? It renews fellowship in your life. It renews fellowship. Remember David when he fell with Bathsheba? Psalm 51:12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways. Sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation. And my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God, here it is a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, these, O God, you will not despise. You will not despise. Verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3.5 years. Imagine that. 3.5 years he prayed and the rain stopped. And then he prayed again and the rain came. Can God give that type of a power? Well, Elijah was a man just like us. Just like us here. This is the beautiful illustration that he's using here. To do what? To prove the righteousness of God? No. He says a righteous man's prayer is powerful and effective before God. When we come in true repentance of heart. And we're really open to God in His Holy Spirit. As we pray to him, then he can answer our prayers. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth did what? Produce its fruit. It's amazing how God works in the life of people.
Well, it is wonderful to know that we have a God who listens, cares, and responds when we seek His face in prayer. And we hope that's been an encouragement for you today. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Roel Rees. Today's lesson from the book of James is available in its unedited form for a donation of $5 or more. If you'd like to get a copy for yourself or for someone else, just call us at 800-634-9165. And for a donation of $5 or more, we'll send a copy to you. Now, we'd also like to offer you an 8-part series that illuminates more of the ways you can enjoy a rich, personal relationship with Jesus. Available on both CD and flash drive, Rawl's Traits of a Christian study will inspire you to ground yourself in the Bible as you pursue unity with your fellow believers and share God's truth with those around you. You'll also discover the eternal blessings that come from fully surrendering your life to the Lord. To order Rawl's Traits of a Christian series, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. We'll send you the 8-lesson thumb drive for $12 or the CD set for $22. That's 800-634-9165. Or write to Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Never before has it been so easy to get Rawl's teaching to take with you. Whether you're a daily commuter or you're in the home environment, the Somebody Loves You Radio podcast is a great way to listen to these programs on your schedule. It's also a convenient way to hear a particular series from beginning to end. Check out our podcast when you visit Spotify, iTunes, or the Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel. This ministry is fully listener-supported, and we are thankful for your partnership. Your donations are a great blessing, and every contribution is tax-deductible. Next time on Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll explore more empowering, uplifting truth from God's Word. Now, here's Roel once again with a final thought from today's lesson.
Look how he's working in your life tonight here, every one of you here. You may feel like an inferior person, you shouldn't. And if you've been messing around and you've been tripping and falling and maybe you're even in sin tonight, make sure that every day you make your heart right with God. You know why? Because we need to pray every day. It is a sin not to pray. Samuel said that. He says, if I don't pray, it is a sin. We need every morning, every afternoon, every evening, we need to pray to God. We need to go to Him with all of our needs and all of our problems and all of our sufferings and ask God to touch our lives. You know what He'll do? He will do it because He loves you so much.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.